It is time for the Media Beat from David Tereshchuk, his weekly review of media coverage for Robinhood Radio and exclusive to Robinhood Radio. David is a multimedia and international journalist with his own online column at themediabeat.us. And as a special correspondent since 2012, he has contributed TV reports to the PBS network, mostly on ethical issues. Here's David.
This is David Tereshchuk with the first edition of the Media Beat in the year 2024. Dateline, January 5th. Around the turn of the year, I alighted again onto my long-term perch in the so-called media capital of the world, New York City, and once more I was struck by how singular the view is from here. I could say unique, except that that word too often sounds complimentary. I'm afraid that in fact, and it's a quality that applies to both New York and Washington, D.C., the view from around here can be decidedly egocentric. Try to see yourself as others see you, was advice frequently urged on me in high school, a British high school, I should make clear. But it's not much practiced among the leaders and opinion formers here on the United States eastern seaboard. But just how, these days, is the U.S. seen through others' eyes? European eyes, for example. My recent 2, going on 3 months on the other side of the Atlantic gave me a very full opportunity to get an answer to that question. Reading, listening to, and watching European commentary on America's behavior, especially during international crises, which could seem pretty much a permanent condition, I registered most of all complete bemusement, though sometimes it was amped up to an angry disappointment. I'm not alone in reporting such assessments. I would cite the director of the Europe program at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace, Dan Baer. He's the author of a book that Simon & Schuster published this year, I mean last year, 2023, called The Four Tests. That means, as the book's subtitle spells out, what will it take to keep America strong and good? Interesting adjectives for America, don't you think? Baer's standpoint on America is largely European, as befits his Euro job with Carnegie, but his four tests are clear and very American. 1. Scale. Can America act as massively in the world as it ought to? 2. Investment. Can the U.S. direct resources across the world effectively and with discernment? 3. Fairness. Can we be fair and just in deciding between competing interests to favor? And 4. Identity. Can we ever now present to the rest of the world a convincingly inclusive consensus among ourselves about where America stands? The specific test case of Washington's current divisions, the executive administration versus Congress, over helping Ukraine in its defensive war against Russia, is very telling. And Dan Baer was, aptly enough, asked about it by NPR's Morning Edition this week. I think his response summed up very well the view from outside on America's troublesome abdication of responsibility in leadership. Congress is haggling over Ukraine, he said to NPR, and I quote, sends a message to Europe that the United States can't be relied upon to do what is in the United States' own interest as well as in European interest. It's not only a failure that will make it more difficult for Ukraine to defend itself against Russian aggression, it's also a failure that makes the United States look weaker in the world. It makes any potential partners question the value of our partnership. But Baer also said something else, perhaps to counter the sense of growing despair that I heard voiced by Europeans. He suggested that maybe the pendulum could swing in a new, or maybe centuries-old, direction. He hinted that Europe itself might develop a stronger taste once more for active global influence. He said, there's also a way forward here. As U.S. power relatively declines with the rise of other powers, there's a vacuum created, and Europe and other partners need to step up and fill that vacuum so that there are responsible security actors who are looking toward peace rather than looking toward the kind of contests and competition that result in more conflict. So maybe we'd all be wise to pay greater attention to Europe in the coming year, watching out in particular for peacemakers among the Europeans. It's worth recalling, even though American media didn't pay a lot of attention to it, that France's President Emmanuel Macron launched several initiatives aimed at peace for Ukraine in April last year, in June, and in the fall, and again just last month with an international donors conference he hosted in Paris. He called his approach combat diplomacy and portrayed that Paris gathering as a push to help Ukraine make it through the winter. Participants agreed on immediate aid being sent to Kyiv in both financing and equipment, quite a contrast with America's congressional deadlock and everybody going home over the holiday period. Interestingly, all the while, Macron has urged stronger sanctions against Russia, but at the same time, he's maintained contact with Vladimir Putin. In fact, even in the press conference on the day Europe decided as a whole to go ahead with negotiations to admit Ukraine to EU membership, Macron made it plain he was still open to dialogue with Putin. He actually said, "We have to be serious, so I have a very simple position. I haven't changed my phone number." And he went on, "If President Putin has a willingness to engage in dialogue, I'll take the call." It seems, once again I'll stress it, that we should watch this space, this European arena, for possible talks on ending the war. These days I do often harp, I'll admit, on Britain being no longer part of Europe, which some listeners to the Media Beat evidently don't like to hear. I can't help it, but Britain's still fairly recent slicing off from the mainland of the continent in 2020 roared back into the headlines over New Year's, in literal as well as emblematic terms. Due to flooding on the English side, not the French, the Channel was closed. That's an antique nickname for the 30-mile-long railroad tunnel that has run under the English Channel since the 1990s. The closure happened just as families by the hundreds of thousands were trying to get together for the holiday. The whole sorry saga, with London's tabloids yelping lines like "absolute mayhem," "cancellations cause misery," "chaos on station platforms," have reminded me inevitably of a piece of journalistic folklore among the UK's community of newshounds. Our generation, at least, of that newshound community used to quote a headline from the Daily Express, that house journal of Middle England, because it seemed to completely sum up its UK-centric view on life. This is a long time before the tunnel was ever built, and our only connection then was by ferry. Reporting a bout of spectacular bad weather, the headline proclaimed, "Fog in Channel, continent isolated." Somehow, since Brexit, it doesn't seem so funny anymore. But maybe the holiday spirit is still lingering for me, and I'm remembering other entertaining headlines of old. The famous, or maybe infamous, veteran journalist Claude Coburn told a tale in his autobiography about overnight games played in the newsroom of the Times of London during his work there in the early 1930s. The bored sub-editors would compete with each other to come up with the most boring headline imaginable. They had their share of boring headlines on that paper. Coburn won the contest once with this unexciting formulation: "Small earthquake in Chile, few dead." So you can perhaps imagine my surprise when, here in New York, I turned to Google for some local news, this being almost a century since Coburn's ink-stained days, and we now do just about everything digitally, and I saw this prominent item. United States Geological Survey reports a 1.7 magnitude earthquake near Astoria, Queens. No reports of damage or injuries. That was the top news at 11:26 a.m. Who would claim that New Yorkers are insular folk? That's all from the Media Beat this week. If you have been, thanks for listening.
Thank you very much, David. We will talk to you next week. David can be found at themediabeat.us.